Okay, so Hashem is Parsha Shmos, Tavshin Ayin Dalet, Baruch Hashem. We had it to a new sefer. All right, we have a lot of things to look at today, but it all centers around one idea. And the truth is, the whole idea is about the oneness of every individual and finding one's miyuchad avoda on planet Earth. We'll start with the opening pasuk of this week's Parsha. Ve'ela Shmos b'nei Yisrael haba mitzrayma. These are the names of Bnei Yisrael who came to Egypt with Yaakov. Everyone came with their household. Says Rashi, even though they were listed by name when they were still alive, namely back in Parshas Vayigash, they're counted again here when it's the end of their lives, when it's over, after their lives. To show you that in a sense, they live on, and that they're beloved even in their passing. In what sense are the Jewish people beloved when they're alive, when they're functioning in this world, when they're not functioning in this world? Says Rashi, Shinimshalu Kochavim. Just like the stars. Shemotzian v'mispar, machnisan v'mispar. That they're taken out, and they're put back, they're brought back in with a number, uvishmosam, and with a name. Shenamar hamotzi b'mispar tzivaam l'chulam v'shem yikra. So too Klal Yisrael. When they're alive, they're mentioned by name. Even when they're gone, they're counted again. Lo'diach yibasam, shenimshal lo'kochav. Question is, in what sense are Klal Yisrael compared to the stars? I'm sure we could all think of different explanations and understandings of what it means to be compared to the star. What it means to be compared to stars. And what's the significance that the stars are brought in and put away, taken out, put away, back and forth, motzian, umachnisan, with a number, with a name. Why do we care about that at all? It says this Vasemis on page number 2 in Tafresh Lam and Dalid. The Rashi we just read. Shenimshal lekochavim shemotzion umachnisan b'misvar. V'hu gufa kasha. Okay, so I understand. The Jewish people are being modeled after the stars. But why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that every time a star comes out to shine or is put away, right, so to speak, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that by name, by number, with such precision? Why does it have to be that way? Why couldn't it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just took the stars and scattered them in the sky? Why does every star need to move at the beck and call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, the Misbar of Shemosam? You have to understand what a star represents. A star brings a certain light to the world. And each star, even though it looks like many of them shine in the exact same way, not a single one of them is shining in the exact same way. The same way that when a person sees a snowflake falling, and sees another snowflake falling next to it, another one next to it, you look at the big picture and it seems like they're all the same, but if you were to examine them carefully and closely, you would see that each one is created and functioning in a slightly different way. So too with the stars. The kochavim are Moshe Aharam Yuchedes Elav. Each one has its tafkid. V'nikra l'shem al inyan pekudaso. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't. It's not possible, kivyachol, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send out all the stars at once. Because each star is doing a different thing. A completely different thing. Okay, superficially it looks the same. The same way that I keep Shabbos and you keep Shabbos. And I daven Shachris and you hopefully daven Shachris. And right? And I make brachos and you make brachos. And I'm wearing tzitzis and you're wearing tzitzis. So we're all doing the same mitzvos. The 613 apply to all of us equally. And yet, at the same time, each one of us is doing it in our own way. We have our own relationship with Shabbos. We have our own relationship with Tefillah. We have our own relationship with Limud Torah. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls each star by name. V'nikra lo shem al inyan pekudaso. Each star is given a number, a name, an assignment that expresses what its mission in this world is. U'kisha osa pu'laso. And when a star does its job, so to speak, is mashlim the inyan, completes its job, yitosav lo shem chadash. It can take on a new aspect, a new name, so to speak. When a Jew comes to this world, it's his job to bring a particular type of light to the world. Not a general light, a specific light. And every Jew is, again, one of the things that we get so burnt out about is I feel like, why is my avoda relevant? But it doesn't matter if I learn that piece of Gemara, because my chavrus is going to learn it anyways. So if I space out, does it really matter? And there are Jews who are davening, so what difference does it make if I daven? And if there's a particular chesed that needs to get done, what difference does it make if I do it? Because if I choose not to do it, someone else will sign up and do it. So what difference does it make? And the answer is that every Jew has a specific ha'ara miyuchedes. And when a Jew shines properly in this world, when he brings everything to that point of holiness, when he carries out his mission in this world, then his name becomes bigger. His name becomes bigger. His essence becomes bigger. His potential becomes bigger. He's given a new mission. And he builds a name for himself, so to speak, right? Tov Shem, Yishem and Tov. A person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts to take on another aspect of the mission because he carried out the first part of the mission with tremendous Kedusha. This is the Sfas Emes' understanding of why a star has to be given a name, that a Jew has to understand your name is your essence, your name is your mission, and your mission is unique to you, and it's for no one else. Sfas Emes continues this theme throughout this week's parsha. If you go through the years, you'll see it's a recurring theme. I'll show you a few of them, but there's even more than what I shared with you in the sheets. But if you look on page number 3, Tafresh Lamed Zayin, a few years later, Sfas Emes gathered again with his Chassidim, and again he shared with them this idea. The importance of a Jew understanding what his specific role is. Birashi, Chazar Umana'am Lahodiya Chibasan Chinim Shalu Kochav Imamoti Bemisfar B'Shem Yikra Uma'in Yano Lakan. Says Sfas Emes, let's take it one step further. Why Dafka, as we begin the book of Galus and Geula, as the Ramban refers to it, Sefer Shemos, why Dafka now? Are we chazering this point? We're deepening our understanding that a Jew has a Shem Miyuchad. Why Dafka in the context of Galus? Says Sfas Emes, Va'apashut hu, Lashar Yardu LeGalus. Ba'akosav LaHagid Ki Lo Haya Al Yedei Sina Chas Hashem. Hashem sends a Jew into God. We learned this week. Thank you. We learned this week that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you an Nisayon, it's because you're his beloved son we trust. Right? Shmuzi told us the story of the Rebbe who got up and said, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not giving you Nisayonos, you should cry to Hashem and say, why do you hate my guts? So going into Galus is not because Hashem hates us. Going into Galus is a mission. A very deep mission. A mission that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to send his most trusted soldiers to carry out that mission. So you might look at Gauls and say, Hashem sent me into Gauls because he hates my guts. The opposite is the case. Like the Medrash explains, the Pasuk in Mishlei, if you love someone, you rebuke them at a young age. Klal Yisrael are in a very fragile state. Why would you send them on such a dangerous mission? And we see it. Despite the fact that we were successful in the mission, we saw how broken we were by the mission. 49th level of Tumah. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm refining you from your youth. When you're a shachat, right? Shicharo musar. That at a young age, because I love you, I'm going to give you musar. I'm going to put you in a challenging situation. Vizelo diachibasan. And that's what Rashi's telling us. Start off Sefer Shemos with the reminder that Golus is not because Hashem hates you. It's a challenge, it's a mission, but it's the thing that makes you miyuchad. It's the thing that's going to help define your essence. You'll acquire a shame for yourself. A sense of individuality, a sense of belonging. Aval ikar amitos ha'inyan hu al pi divrei ha'medrash shemosan al shem ha'geula. But says Sfas Emes, the truth is the whole idea of the name, the specific name that Klal Yisrael had. The names that they had were names of geula. The Medrash darshins each of the names as hinting to something in geula. And therefore, as we're entering Galus, Hashem wants to remind you your essence is geula. There are going to be Galus moments in your life. Like we learned last week, there are ups, there are downs. Right? But a crouching lion is still a lion. I'm going to keep coming back to that because I like it. A crouching lion is still a lion. When a Jew's in Galus, chazer your name. Review your name, review your essence. Understand who you really are. The names, the Medrash Darshins, remind yourself your name is the name of geula. That's your essence. Not the struggle, not the down. The down is Yeridah, it's our Aliyah, but the Aliyah is your essence. And therefore, he quotes from the Chiddush Arim, as he often does, Sha'aros haru'uyos le'geula holchu miyad ibahem k'mo shekasav HaKadosh Baruch Hu bori refua kodim l'maka. And therefore, to start off, we start the Galus Prat, we begin Sefer Shemos. The harshest parsha of the entire Sefer. Like we learned this week, right? Why does Shomim start with Shemosh? What is the roughest part? The answer is, we chazer our names dafka amidst Shemos, amidst the struggle, We chazer the shemos, the names, in order to remind ourselves that what? That the potential to survive is there from the start. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the medicine before He gave us the illness. He called Kochav Umalach Shanivra al Davar Miyuchad Laso Shlichas Abori Yisbarach Ba'ola. Every star, every angelic being is created with its Shlichus. It's told exactly what it can do, what it should do. And it has a sense, a deep sense of awareness. Lachain Nikva Bo Mikodem Shem Elyon. Shemitza Zet is Dabe Kapu'ula Bekoach Elyon. We have a name that we're called on planet Earth, but that name is a reflection of our essence in a higher world. Think about the people who are called by a double name in the Torah. Avram, Avram. Medrash says, Avram, Avram means that the Avram that your chevra calls you down below is exactly the image of the Avram that I've created in the Shemaim, the Shem Elyon. Right? The supernal expression of who you are. The Etzem, in the higher heavens of who you are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every star a name to say to it, you have a Shlichus, but your Shlichus is an expression of some loftier idea. Like it says in the Gemara, when Hashem spoke to the Or and gave it its mission, Vayikra Laor Yom, like the Pasuk says, right? The Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim, Vayikra Laor Yom, that's the Pasuk, Karya Rachmana Linahora, Upakte Amitzvasa Diamama. Hashem called over light and said, here, I'm giving you a job, I'm giving you a mitzvah. Right? Mitzvah is also a lashon of connection. Tzavasa means companionship. A mitzvah means that you're going on a mission, but maintain your dveikus. Understand who you work for. You're going into galus, but understand what your name is. Understand what your shem ha'elyon is. Understand your essence. Hashem called over the darkness. He called over lechashucha, and He assigned it amitzvasa delela. He assigned it to the night. Perish kriya lashon chiba v'dveikus kamo v'kara zelzeh. Right, a loving lashon, a kriya. Hashem calls you over. He attaches Himself to you and sends you as His secret agent. Vezeh shakos of lekulam b'shem yikra. She was dabkis kol tzavam arom b'shema de kolil kol shemahan. To attach yourself to the name of all names. Right? How do we refer to God? Hashem, Hashem. To maintain a connection to the name. That's what life's all about. To be on a mission away from Hashem, but never for a second away from Hashem. And that is the name of Hashem Himself. A person says, what do you mean? I know I can name at least five other Moshe Tzvi's. So what's special about my name Moshe Tzvi? But Moshe Tzvi for me means something different than someone else's name Moshe Tzvi. And the fact that we're all called Yisrael is different. Each one of us is a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a way that's on the one hand similar, on the other hand completely different. It's a shame miyuchad. Ubavada kishagover myself, litova, the shalim bezeshavo. To complete one's mission is to bring completion, to illuminate one's name. Va'osan hashemos, shame kochos anafashos, heim atzon misayayin la'odim lahotzi la'or tikuno. And that's like the Arizal writes in the Shara Gugulam, when a parent names a child, there's an element of Ruach HaKodesh, that the name should help you to achieve your mission. The name assists you in carrying out your mission. But again, it's the realization that every Jew, like a star, has a very, very specific mission in this world. Let's look at one more Sfasemis in this week's Parsha. And this is a little bit later in his life. Tafresh Nun Zion. Tafresh Nun Zion. What year would that be? 1897. Ve'ela Shemos. Says Fasemes, Ve'ela, we know Ve'ela is Mosif al Rishonim. The Isaf bin Madrash, Shinim Shalu Kochavim, Dechsiv Lechulam Shemos Yikra. We have a Pasuk in the Hill that says Lechulam Shemos Yikra. Everyone has names, plural. Upam Achas, but in Yeshaya, which Rashi quoted, which we read at the beginning, Rashi quotes the Pasuk B'Shem Yikra, in the singular. So which is it? Do we have Shemos or do we have one name? We have many names, we have one name, how does it work? V'kor ha-kasav n'mizeh, ki agam shekol echad memuna al inyan miyuchad, mikol makom dveikim ba'achtes echad. The idea of having many names and having one name is that while each one of us is working again on a separate mission, there's a communal mission that Klal Yisrael is working on. Right? That's what it means, to have a name but to be part of the bigger names. Or to have many names and to be part of that one name. Right? Klal Yisrael. U'kmo kein b'nei Yisrael. I ain't Shon Parshas V'yigash Mizeh where I explain this idea. But since I said this, I'll go one step further. Achein od perish. Shemos Yikra. Sheyesh l'kol echad kama minei shemos. We all have many names. What does that mean? L'fi eschalfus ha-shlichus, depending on what my shlichus is at any given moment. What am I working on right now? K'di'isa ki kol malach nishtane shemo l'fi ha-shlichus. When a malach takes on a shlichus, it takes on a name. And so to a Jew. V'achal p'ken k'siv b'shem yikra. And yet, despite the many hats that we wear, the many shemos that we are labeled by, there's a certain b'shem yikra. It's all part. The many pieces of our lives are part of a broader mission, that miyuchad mission that each one of us is assigned. And it changes this way and that way. It expresses itself. Sometimes we look like we're so many different types of people. We're really just one thing. There's moments where we're acting one way, the moments we're acting another way. It's all really one thing. That's all who you are. It's not like this is the better version of me, this is the worst version of me. Again, superficially, my actions might be better, my actions might be worse, but it's all part of who I am. I thought I was going to be like this, I had a certain stage, and now I'm like this. Right? It all adds up to create l'kulam b'shem yikra. Ukamoke, b'nei Yisrael sheyesh l'kol echad shem miyuchad shal zed nivra, u'mikol makom yesh lo kama minei shinuyim. A person has his mission, and yet it changes in the way that it expresses itself at various points over the course of one's life. I remember many years ago when I was in YU as a bachar, I was in Rav Goldrich Shir, and I remember he once quoted this Fasemes and Parshas Korach. I don't know why this piece of Torah stuck in my head more than anything else. I think I was blown away by it. It becomes so pasha that you forget how to read the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Every time I think about this Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, my brain immediately goes to Fasemes Parshas Korach. I don't even remember. I can't even. I struggle to figure out what pasha pshat in the Mishnah is anymore. So maybe you can help me. What's the Mishnah? He quotes in Parshas Korach, he's quoting from the Chiddush Arim, explaining the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. I think Pasha Pshat is, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. What does it mean? I think it means that if I don't provide for myself, right? So then Mi Li, why should someone else provide for me? If I don't work to make a living, so other people are going to say, why should I help you? You didn't put in any effort, so why should, right? Who's gonna supply me with my needs? At the same time, Kishani La Atzmi, when I am working for myself and I am being a responsible human being on planet Earth, right? But if I become so self-centered, I'm not going to help another Jew who's in need. Is that Pashup Shah? That makes sense? Yeah. I'm not being serious. I'm not being facetious. Yeah, that's Pashup Shah?
See, not only monetary, which is...
And then a neely meely. If I don't take care of myself, then how can I expect someone else to take care of me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if I don't believe in myself.
Said, yeah. If I don't believe in myself.
Yeah.
So it says the Chiddush Arim, and again, I can't get away from thinking about it this way. And I think most of us, and many of us, just by the way that we're used to thinking, we would already think in these terms. But it says Chiddush Arim, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. What does it mean? Ki Kol Adam Niver L'Takin Davar Miyuchad. Again, that word Miyuchad keeps coming back. Every Jew was created to do something that is entirely unique. She Ein Acher Yachol L'Takin. That's the Chiddush. If Ein Ani Li Mi Li means, if I don't do my avod in this world, there's no one who can fill in that gap. It doesn't matter how big of a tzadik yisod olam. And you think, what couldn't the Baal Shem Tov do that I'm supposed to do? What couldn't the Vilna Gaon do that I'm supposed to do? Right? There are tzadikim in this world. What doesn't Rav Shechter know about Masechet Shabbos that I'm supposed to know about Masechet Shabbos? It just doesn't seem realistic. Right? I'm gonna understand the Rambam in a way that the Raga Chavra didn't understand the Rambam. And the Pshat in Ein Ani Li Mi Li is, yeah. That if you're not attacking your avoda, that's it. Hashem created you with the only one who has the potential to achieve this mission. If you don't carry out the mission, no one else is going to be assigned this mission. It's forever going to be lost on humanity. On Klal Yisrael. There's going to be a gap in the when we look back at the tapes of time. A gap of someone who failed to carry out his mission. And guess what? Every moment is like that as well. Every second in time is a unique mission. Right? We saw that. We saw it in the mission of Chagiga. A person who wasted an opportunity, you can't get that back. What do you mean you can't get that back? So what? So I missed the shir, I didn't come to the shir, so I'll go learn it another time. Yeah, but you can't get it back. The way it was supposed to be learned at that moment, when you miss that opportunity, you can't get that back. It's gone forever. A person had an opportunity to do a chesed, and they didn't do it. So I could try to feel better by doing another chesed. But that pain that that person was in at that particular moment will never, that can never recreate itself. The exact circumstances will never repeat itself. And a person, when you see life in this way, it can be a little overwhelming. But also, you take advantage of the moments of life to realize, this moment, however I decided to spend the last 24 hours, that's it. Those moments are etched onto the film, and that is it. Okay, there's tshuva, there's ways to touch it up, but the maisa, for the most part, it's set in stone. It's not going to be erased. Im kol zeh kashani la'atzvi ma'ani. Yet, at the same time, of course, the end of the Mishnah, kashani la'atzvi ma'ani, shesar chol echad levato chelek prati shelo, even though I'm a yochid miyuchad she'en kamohu, that every single person is so unique, I can't become overly obsessed with that. I'm still, my mission is, I'm a member of Klal Yisrael. I have to mevatel that chelek prati shelo, which is so special and so personal, I still have to be a person who's focused on the Klal. I can't become a person who's only about achieving my chelek in Torah, my unique connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
It also makes the question on the end of the Mishnah there.
Right.
That were perfect.
Beautiful. Right. Imlo Yafshav Emasai. The end of the Mishnah is a perfect fit, because if not now, that moment cannot be retrieved. Now, sometimes you look at how we ended up where we are, and you think, like, how did I get here? Right. Like, you try to chazer over. We were talking about this that time. Like, how did I get into whatever I'm into? And we're not all into the same. Whatever anyone's into, the things that we're drawn to in life. Like, how did I get into that? Or how did I end up in YU? Or how did I end up in a particular yeshiva? Or how did I end up in this family? And, right? And like, now I'm dating this girl. Like, how did I end up with this girl? Like, it's very strange sometimes, and it seems very random. Rav Khan told me an amazing story the other day. Rav Khan told me, we were standing in the hall the other day, Rav Aaron Khan Shlita, and he said that one time there was a community somewhere in New Jersey that was hawking him like to death to come and give a shiur, to come speak. He said, I'm very tired, I don't have time, I can't, I have so many responsibilities. And this person was pushing him, come, we'll make a big thing for you. We'll put up tons of advertisements, we'll get hundreds of people to come, you'll change the whole community. It'll be an unbelievable event. He pushed him and he pushed him and he pushed him, and Khan finally said, okay, it doesn't sound like you gave me much of a choice here. So fine, he agreed. He slept out, he came. What happens? He comes to the shul. He says, he looks around, there's like not a single like advertisement. There's like 20 people in like the main sanctuary. It's mamish empty. Happens to be the schedule at the same night as like some Mordechai Ben David concert, he said, that like the whole community was going to. And he said it was on there, so they moved it to like the small little basement on the side. He said it was still mamish, like the room was empty. It was like 15-20 people. It was a big bizarre for someone of his stature. Not that, but he left feeling very annoyed, because like you tricked me. You told me if we're going to do this, at least let's do this right. Give me the chance to speak to the people. Let me make a difference. I slept out to talk to 10 people. I mean, I'm happy to talk to 10 people, but like, so what? He said he came home, he said to his wife, he said, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, this is a sign that like, I should have said no, and that's it. He said, a few days later, he's at a wedding. Some guy comes over to him at the wedding and says, Rabbi Khan, you don't know me, but you changed my life. So he says, who are you? So it's like a week later. He says, who are you? He says, I was at that cheer that you gave the other week. And I was so inspired by what you said. He said, I came home and I told my wife we're doing everything wrong. And we're sitting down now and we're rethinking everything. We're rethinking where we send our kids to school. We're rethinking like the whole way that we live our life. I was so blown away by what you said. You've literally changed my life. We made some major choices. In the last week, my wife and I made major life-changing choices because of what you said. And Rav Khan said, I'll quote it since he said it, although I'm uncomfortable saying that, he said, Aaron, you're such a tippish. He said, you think that you're going to go and speak to 500 people, right? And that's your shlichus, and that's going to be, you know, something big and something grand. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you there. And Hashem sent the one person who needs, you could have been in a room of 500 people and none of them would have been inspired. Had you been stubborn about it, you could have changed someone's life. He said, you learned such a lesson in that moment. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you on a shlichus, and if you don't capture that moment, it's lost forever. That person could have, he'd get up to Shemaim and, you know, after all those years, and Hashem would have a tefillah on him. Like, why weren't you this way? He said, I don't know. Why should I have been that way? You didn't hear Rav Khan's speech. Then Hashem will come to Rav Khan and say, you never gave that speech. You never gave that shir. You never gave that shmooze. You realize that you robbed someone of their existence because of that? It's a very powerful im ein ani li mili. Right? Im lo achshav emasai. You never know. And yet again, you look at it and it seems so random sometimes. But that's why the comparison to stars is a gewaltig comparison. Because stars look totally random. The stars in the sky. Again, if we were just to look up at the stars, we would think it's totally, totally random. We would think HaKadosh Baruch Hu just threw the stars up there. That's why it's important to chazer this next point in the Or Gedaliah. Rabbi Gedaliah Shor says, in his writings by Yom Kippur, he's talking about how every piece of Torah also has its place and its time. There's a reason that certain Torahs come down at certain times. There's that certain tzaddikim brought down certain ideas at certain time periods. Why did it come down earlier? Because that wasn't its time. It wasn't meant to come down at that time. So you look at a line in Shas, you wonder, why did this piece of Agadata end up in this Masechta? It seems very random. Guess what? There's nothing random at all about it. It's exactly where it needs to be. Shas is arranged in the most magnificent, precise order. On the nusach of the tefillah, we can say in Maariv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misader es hakochavim berakia kirtzono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misader es hakochavim. You look at the stars, you say, really? Hashem is misader es hakochavim? Ki amistaka hakochavim choshev. Ki ein lahem seder. You would look at the stars and assume, totally random. What's the difference? Every star, they do the same exact thing. They're all shining in the same exact way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu just throws them up there. You wouldn't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is motziyan u'machnisan b'misparu v'shemosam, like Rashi told us. But the reality is, about kol echad miyisrael ma'amin ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu sider. It looks one way, but the metzias is not that way. The reality is that there is a seder. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He's mesader s'kochavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sider or some beseder miyuchad. Again, the magic word today, miyuchad. It keeps going back. Every bit of it is exactly the way it needs to be. And when a Jew reminds himself that he's compared to a star, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, go look at the stars, ko yezaracha. What that means is you're going to look at your children sometimes and wonder, how did they end up the way they ended up? But realize there's a seder, there's a shlichus. There's something miyuchad, there's a shame. And sometimes that shame is shamos. There's many different expressions of the name. But it's all geared towards that mission that I've charged each and every one of your children, Avram, with in this world. One of the struggles sometimes with being a shlich of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accepting your shlichus. Being comfortable with your shlichus. Being comfortable with your shlichus. Whether that means that you realize you have a certain potential to do something great and it's overwhelming, the thought of doing that great thing. Or whether it's just stop, the realization that as a Jew there's an expectation that I have to carry myself in this world. To be able to do my shlichus, to do it with commitment, and to be diligent, and to be proud, and to do it with the absolute realization that I have to do this. I have to do this. This is my shlichus. This is the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me. This is my expectation. To be able to train myself to do it in that way is also something we learn from the stars. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Darash Moshe, why is it that Klal Yisrael are compared to stars? He says, five lines down, V'nira, Da'akavana da'af she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan kolach ha'bechira la'adam, she'yuchal lasos neged ha'Torah. It's true. The system we live in is such that the shliach can choose. None of us were thrown out of bed this morning by God. We chose to get up and come to shir. We chose to get up and put on our tefillin. We chose to get up and engage the world. Engage life. That's a choice that we made. It's a choice. It's an active choice that we made. And that's bechira. That's one of the basics of life. To have free will. Yet, what's the goal? The goal is to train yourself to such a degree that you're mevatel your free will. That it should be a given that I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem. Mikol makom adrega hayoser gedola kishigia laklal havana shemikavan shu davar iser ain a yachol avur al zeh bidiyaswa gedola godel chomer iser. To train yourself that if Hashem says no, there's nothing to discuss here. I don't have bechira anymore. If Hashem says yes, Hashem says you need to be learning, you need to be davening, you need to be acting like a yid. So even if I'm not feeling it, kafaleim arki yigas, I throw myself out of bed. I do it. Why? It's not a cheshbon. It's not a struggle every day. Because I make an absolute commitment that if God says it, I'm going to do it. Of course I have Bechira. I have to have Bechira. It's the only way the game is fair. But the goal is to get to such a point where you don't have to think about it. For the longest time, I was so convinced I can't get up early. For the longest time. And I started recently going to bed a little earlier and setting an alarm very early and getting out of bed. And I do it. I get out of bed. I get out of bed in the morning. At a time that I used to think, like, anyone who gets up like before 6 o'clock is out of their mind. What is this? What is the idea of getting up before 6 o'clock in the morning? It's like unfathomable to me. You know, I'm like a B'nai Yeshurun 9:15 on Sunday kind of guy. Right? And I was always like embarrassed of that, but like, okay, whatever, that's like who I am. That's the type of guy I am. And now I realize, wait a minute, no, like, what happens if you get up and start your day in a different way? And I've come to realize that I can do that. Right? That I've trained myself to do it. And now it's become something that is easy. I don't have to struggle every morning. It was more of a struggle when I tried to get up at 8:30 than when I try to get up at you know, whatever time I get up. When a person comes to the realization that Hashem says no and it's not negotiable, that's why the Torah uses what? When the Torah talks about certain averos, it says lo tuchal, you're not able. For example, he quotes lo suchal lechol b'sharecha in Parshas Re. What's that talking about? Maaser sheni, you can't eat maaser sheni b'sharecha. Where do you have to take your maaser sheni? Yerushalayim. You can't eat it in your gates. Really? I can't eat it in my gates. Who's going to stop me? God's going to send out a lightning bolt. What does it mean, lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha? Who's going to stop me? The halacha is going to stop me? Halacha doesn't... I know what Hashem wants. What does it mean, lo tuchal? Why does it express it that way? And Rashi quotes from Yeshua Makarcha, who says, yachol ata ve'ein chavashai. What does it mean? It means, of course you could, but you shouldn't. So why does the Torah phrase it in terms of lo tuchal? You're not able to. It says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and many other Svarim express this idea as well. The goal is to reach a point where lo tuchal. Where, what do you mean? If the Torah says I can't, then I can't. And I can't. I cannot bring myself to do it. It's totally foreign to me. Right? And we all have things like that are given. Right? I would never drive a car on Shabbos. There are certain things I would never do. And there are other things that we're still negotiating with. Sometimes I do this Avera, sometimes I don't do this Avera. Right? It's not an absolute. There are certain things in our life, I would never do that. I would never, ever do that. For any money amount of money in the world, I would never do this Avera, certain Averas. That's what a star is. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, a star is trained to do its mission every single day. A star doesn't decide, should I shine, should I not shine? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amotzi and Amachnis b'mispar. Hashem calls your number, the star, it's out. Says time to stop shining, star comes in. Star knows exactly where to be, when to be. It does its mission with a great sense of pride. And that's something that we have to be inspired by. We talk about learning from the stars. But Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, the Lublin Rav, has a similar comment in Parshas Noach. I'll just share with you very quickly. He says, again, a person looks up at the heavens. We'll read from the end of that first line, on page 9. Ha'adam anavon yisa einav hashamayim. A person looks up to the heavens. And he sees, look how everything is working in such a calculated fashion. The sun is very much on task in doing its job. And the moon is on task in doing its job. And the stars are on task in doing its job. And none of them are being paid to do their job. The sun's not going to get schar, loss of lava. The sun doesn't have anything to lose as far as onesh. There's no such thing when it comes to the heavenly hosts. And yet they do their job with such diligence. So when a person thinks about this, says Rav Meir Shapiro, 5 lines from the bottom, Uvezboni na'odah behem, uvepulo seyem, I should be trembling mamish. Because think about it. They have nothing to gain and basically nothing to lose. And if they do, they understand, I'm a shliach. A star understands. Kulam b'shemos yikra. I have an essence, I have a mission, and I carry it out diligently. Yachuz v'yomar, a person should cry out and say, Mara bu ma'asech Hashem, kulam b'chach ma'asisa. Maher yinachem ma'chshavosav hara'os. V'yasim libo das utvuna lemor. I should stop having thoughts of all sorts of things that are not what Hashem wants for me. I should be able to say to myself, please, make a simple calculation. Ani hu shenivresi b'tzelem elokim. I'm created, I'm a shtik elokus. I'm created in the image of God. Ki bachra ashkacha l'shis aretz. I was sent here to establish, to found the world. V'chol asher ba hadom l'ragli. And Hashem made a beautiful world for me to rest my feet upon. V'yesh li schar v'amali. And I get paid very nicely for my efforts. Ha'alayla ashchis darki. Ala aretz. Could I possibly blow this opportunity to not carry out this mission? Am I not as good as a star? I'm great b'tzelem elokim. I'm carrying a chelek elokim mimal inside of me. How could I not? That's what Moshe Feinstein is saying. Lo tuchal. Train yourself. Take pride in the mission. And of course, a person sometimes struggles. We struggle to be ourselves. We don't like the thought of having such a mission. I had to eat a banana for breakfast this morning. I haven't had a banana for breakfast in a while. I had to have one today because of this next source on page 11. My brother-in-law, Olav Shalom, Chaim Feigenbaum, once gave me a little kuntres. It's called Oros Shlomo. I wish I would have brought it in today just so I could show you the cover. Put a huge smile on your face. What's the Oros Shlomo? The Oros Shlomo is Rav Shlomo Karlbach's parish on Rav Kook's Oros HaTshuva. It's gavaldic. It's so good. It's wild, but it's so good. On the cover, there's a picture of like Rav Kook with like a pretty like normal, intense face. And then there's like this picture of Rav Shlomo with like his shirt like a little open on top and like his eyes just like... It took like a very normal Rav Kook picture, like a very wild Rav Shlomo picture on the cover. But it's Rav Shlomo's parish on Rav Kook. You have to be a certain type of Jew, I guess, to be interested in such a kuntres. But I remember I once saw an amazing thing there. Tshuva. Rav Kook talks about tshuva being a return to normalcy. Right? Being normal. What does it mean to be normal? How do you know if your avodah is normal? Do I have to reach the madriga of lotuchal? I'm not able to do the avera? That's considered normal already? That's balanced? That's normal? What's considered normal in avodas Hashem? So Shlomo writes, or he probably said, someone else wrote them up. Eich ata yodea matai shmira Shabbos hofeches l'chelek normali mimcha. How do you know when you're keeping Shabbos like a normal person? What does it mean to be a normal Shomer Shabbos Jew? Kisha'ata Shomer Shabbos, ata rotze tamid lishmor Shabbos. If you're really Shomer Shabbos, you want to be a Shomer Shabbos. You're not a Jew who's sitting counting down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 3, 2, 1. Havdalah! Right? Freedom! That's not normal. It's a form of Shmirah Shabbos, but that's not normal. That's not normative Shmirah Shabbos. How do you know if the person that you're with is a normal relationship? How do you know if the woman who you're living with is the right person for you? When you wake up in the morning, you're happy to see that person. If a person's involved with another person, and they're in a relationship where they're not always interested in seeing them, if you're with this woman, and you don't want to see her the next morning, then something's pretty wrong. And that you feel some obligation that's forcing you to connect with this person, zekfar lo normali. That's not normal. To be running from one's shlichus, to be running from your name, is to be running from your essence. That's not normal. That's totally not normal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara es ha'olam b'tzura normalit. Hashem created the world in a normal fashion. The things of the world are normal. Hashemesh normalis. The sun is normal. The moon is normal. Tapuach normali. Look at the next line. Banana normalit. Bananas are normal. What does it mean bananas are normal? Says of Shlomo, Ko banana rotza lishaer banana. A banana is happy to be a banana. A banana doesn't want to be something it's not. A banana is very happy to be a banana. Okay, sometimes it wants to be a dried banana, fine. Justin's right, sometimes it's a dried banana. But it wants to be a banana, it never changes its shame. Right? A banana chip is still is a shame banana. It's a banana. A tapuach wants to be a tapuach. Rotza lishaer tapuach. Raklanu b'nei adam yeshkol kachar be'bayos lios b'nei. And yet people have an issue with being people. A Jew has an issue with being a Jew. Right? We become, like those of you I've shared with recently, the runaway bunny. Those who are holding in the sipur of the runaway bunny. One of the great sipur. The runaway bunny. Right? We're running from ourselves. That's not normal. To be running from who you're supposed to be is not normal. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes other people make us crazy. Someone else gets inside our head. And they question you about who you're supposed to be. You have a sense of identity, a sense of shlichus. Like Rav Weinberger spoke to us that time. Avucha b'may zahir tfei. Right? What makes you shine? Like the Maris Machpel, that piece from the Zohar that he taught us. Sometimes someone else comes and they make you crazy. And they say, what you're doing, why are you interested in that? Why do you think that that's your shlichus? Now you know it's your shlichus. You're 100% convinced it's your shlichus. But someone else comes over to you and tries to impose upon you their way. That's a dangerous thing. If you turn back to page 10, just for one moment. The Gemara in Brachos, two lines. Tana Rabbanan, if a person sees 600,000 Jews, Haroa Uchluse Yisrael, Omer Baruch Chacham Harazim. I say, wow, Hashem, you're unbelievable. You created every person in a unique way. She'ein daitam dom ezeh lezeh, ve'ein partzufein dom ezeh lezeh. No two people think alike, and no two people look alike. Says Rav Shlomo Eger, son of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Beautiful insight. You're walking down the street, and you see someone, right? Let's say you have a light complexion, you see someone with darker skin. You see someone with darker skin. Right? And you go over to that person, you say, why don't you look more like me? You have blue eyes, you see someone with green eyes. You say, why don't you look like me? So they'll say, what do you mean, why don't I look like you? This is how I was born. What do you want from me? I'm going to get my eye color changed to look like you? That's insane. That's totally mad. That's madness. I'm going to change my eye color to look like you? Right? I'm going to dye my hair blonde because I was born with brown hair and you have blonde hair? That's not normal. So says Shlomo Eger, just like it's so obvious to us that I would never go over to someone with a different color hair and say, I'm insulted by the fact that you don't look like me. What do you want from me? This is how I was created. So says Rav Shlomo Eger, which is fascinating, because Rav Leibel Eger was someone who took a different path. He took a path that he felt was his shlichus, which was different than his father and his grandfather. Just like no two people look alike, says the Gemara, no two people think alike. Just like it's absurd to walk over to someone and say, why do you have blue eyes when I have green eyes? It's absurd to walk over to someone and say, why do you like halacha when I like Gemara? Why do you like Hasidus when I like Tanakh? Why do you like this when I like that? It's an absurd thing to say. It's equally crazy, says Rav Shlomo Eger, to go over to someone and say, you look different than me, I'm insulted by that. But all the time, people say, you think differently than me, so I'm insulted by that. What right do you have to say such a thing? People sometimes make us very crazy. And therefore it's important to us, if we're trying to carry out our shlichus, to be that illuminated star, that miyuchad star that we're supposed to be, it's important that we don't spend so much time looking at what others are doing. And we should encourage them to spend less time looking at what we're doing. Because the more we're looking around, the crazier we're going to become. We're not going to be normal. We're not even going to be on the madrigal of a banana. According to Rav Shlomo. We're going to be less than a banana. That's a sad state to be in. To be less than a banana. You have to know what to look at. If you're looking at others and sizing up your avodas Hashem based on what someone else is doing, you're not going to be a normal person. Rav Shlomo Eger says, it's like walking down the street and seeing someone with a different color hair and saying, I'm terribly distraught that you have blonde hair when I have black hair. That's not normal. So it's not normal that you should look at someone else's avoda and be so bent out of shape, whether you want to impose your way upon them or they're imposing their way upon you. That's not normal. If you turn to page 13, the Chakima Beramiza, the Scholar Rebbe Shlita, he explains one of the psukim in Parshas Kisavo. Vayisam b'shuga memare inecha asher tira. Pashup Shad is describing the Holocaust. A person looks at pictures of the Holocaust, you can go out of your mind. Just by looking at the pictures, Allah has kam v'kam, but someone who was there. You know what it was like to see someone who was your rabbi, who was the rabbi of your town, who was a distinguished person, who wore Rebbe Shel Levush and had a long beard and long payas, to see him as a skinny, clean shaven, right, scrawny little person who looks like he's barely alive. You know what that's like? What that must have been like to see? And there were people like that. Sometimes I was reading a book on the Holocaust recently. They had pictures side by side of a Rav, like as the Rav before the war. They showed a picture of him as like a soldier at one point, like in like soldier levush. They showed a picture of him like at the end when he was liberated, like this scrawny, like unidentifiable, you know, pile of bones. It's wild. You can go crazy from the things that people saw, and I'm just telling you again how a person changed. Forget how he got through those changes. The things that people saw, it's a rachmanis. People went crazy just from the things that they saw. But says the Scully Rebbe, what does that have to do with us? Baruch Hashem. Hopefully most of us are living in a time, in a place. In America we're blessed that hopefully we don't face too much anti-Semitism. Right? We don't see Jews getting beat up in the streets. We're not going to go crazy from that. But what will we go crazy from? So he says on the left-hand side by the arrow. Odi Yesh Lomar. Hakavana da pasuk bo lochiach es b'nei amenu. B'inin hakina v'ataiva. You know what's going to make you crazy? You'll go crazy from the things that you see. If I'm looking at what other people have, if I'm looking at what other people do. We're also nichse chavero kinas beso, right? That can consume a person. V'ayin roe v'leiv chomei. The second you see it, you desire it. V'ozakam cheshbonos shel mitzvah. I come with all sorts of prum calculations. Why it would be good? Eshayoser tov haya beruchnis v'gashvis. It would be good for me if I had what my friend had. And you make all these crazy cheshbon, and you start living in a way that's not who you are. And then you're not normal, then you're less than a banana. You're less than a banana. And you're meshuga mimara einecha. Stop looking at what other people are doing. It's going to make you crazy. It's not about what anyone else on planet Earth is doing. It's only about what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing. I want to read you the words of the Vilna Gaon on page 12. The Gra in Mishlei, Perek Yudalei. The Pasuk says, Holech biyashro yirei Hashem. A person who walks biyashro yirei Hashem. Unaloz derachav bozehu. Listen to these very powerful words from the Gra. Ki kol adam tzarech leilech bedarko hatzarech lo. A person has to walk in the way that's fit for him. Ki ein midas b'nei adam shavim zeh lezeh. Because no two people are the same. It's an absurdity to think otherwise. Umechmas zeh hu ragil ba'avera haba ba'osa mida. V'tzarech ligdor atzma ma'od b'zeh. U'mash ein chavero tzarech lezo ha'shmira v'chavero tzarech ledavar acher. Right? Eidu gibor ha'kobesh as yitz ro. His yitzhar. His own yitzhar. It's easy to conquer someone else's yitzhar, the Kosher Sarak says. Conquer your own yitzhar is not so pasha. Right? To look at myself and say, what is my way? V'lachin holich biyashro b'derech hayasher shelo. Afal pi shebeinei habrios hura. Someone looks at you and say, you're a meshugana. What's wrong with you? People laugh at you. Ki einan yodin mashu tzar. No one knows what you need. No one knows what's going on inside. V'afal pi chen hu holich biyashro. You do what you think is emistic, regardless of what anyone else has to say. Hu yirei Hashem. That's a yari shemayim. Ki misyari hu shelo yavo lidei avera machlas tivo haragil bo. Sometimes he's talking, Vilna Gaon's talking dafkin sur meira. A person takes on some type of extreme practice, right? He says, I don't want something which by modern standards is extreme. I don't want to have internet in my home. Okay, why don't you? What's wrong with you? What are you, like, addicted to pornography or something? No, I'm not. But I still don't want to have internet in my home. Why? Why do you need to guard yourself in such an extreme way? What's wrong with you? You can't be... So, because I know myself, and I don't want to waste time watching stupid videos. I don't waste time. I don't need access to everything in the world. I don't want to live my way. I don't want to live that way. And people say, you're weird. You're from like an ancient generation. Everyone has internet nowadays. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not interested in it. All right? And I know that's what's best for me. You might think I'm crazy. You might think I'm old-fashioned. You might think I'm not with the times. You can say whatever you want about me. But I'm a Yare Shemayim, and I do what's right between me and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not about anyone else. Unaloz b'drachav yibozehu. Right? But a person who's crooked in his ways, he's constantly looking for the approval of others. What are people going to say about me? So he does things to fit in, even though he knows it's leading to his own stumbling. Such a person, bozehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea mashu tzarech, v'hu eino oseh hatzarech lo, v'osar yashar be'enei habrios. He's not living with God, he's living with people. Harei alav yiras basar v'dam, v'eino alav yiras Hashem. He fears people more than he fears God. Like the Gemara in Bava Kama says, why is the Ganav punished more than the Gazlan? Because the Ganav is more scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people, right? Then the Gazlan. A person can become a backwards person. You can spend your whole life focusing on what other people are telling you you need. Let's turn to page 17. I told you there's going to be a lot of bouncing around tonight. I want to read to you some very, very powerful words from Rav Kook. And again, if it's a chizik for you, then take it in a serious way. It's hard. It's a hard avoda. To understand, again, we saw about 10 sources today that everyone keeps using the word miyuchad. Miyuchad means it's absolutely individual. And it can't be achieved by anyone. There has to be a time when a person says, I don't care what anyone else says anymore. I have to do what's right for me. And again, you have to be amistic with yourself. It could be you're living a life of sin and you're convincing yourself that this is the way I have to be. That's not necessarily the case. But if it's the way you really have to be, and it's your serious avoda, then you have to believe in that. And if you try to fight it, chas v'shalom, look how bad it can become. Rav Kook writes in the Oros HaTorah in the 9th parak, Nos Vav, an amazing, amazing thing. Look at this. Yeshnam shiyatsu letar basra. There are people who have gone off the derech. Because of what? B'vdei shebederech limudam v'ashlamasam haruchnis. Bogdu b'tchunasam ha'ishis hamyuchedes. They've rebelled against their essential self. A person says, I'm more of an agadic type. I like agadita. And his friend likes dry halacha. It doesn't mean he doesn't learn halacha. It means that's not his main thing. And he's trying to figure out, is that okay to say? Am I allowed to come out with this statement that I am an agadic type of Jew and halacha is not my main thing? Of course I learn halacha. But can I say that my kvias is by something else? What are people going to say about me? Right? What do I see by other people? I go, meshuga b'marinecha. And because he's scared to recognize his essential self, so he tries to push ahead in halacha. The Rebbe who tells you, Shana Aleph, and maybe he's right and maybe he's wrong. But the Rebbe says to you, you don't like Gemara because you're not working hard enough for Gemara. Work harder at Gemara. Now that might be true. Or it might be that Gemara is not your main thing. And if they're not exposing you to anything else, they're destroying you. Every blot that they're forcing down your throat is destroyed, is hurting you. Right? So you're trying to fit in. And he's so uncomfortable when he's learning. He doesn't feel at home with the Torah. And he starts to question, do I have a chelek in Torah? Because his immersion in them is not an expression of who he is. But if he would be brave enough to do the thing that he needs to do, see, when he's forcing halacha, when he's not his thing, he thinks halacha stinks. Halacha is pointless. Halacha is meaningless. Right? He develops an attitude that's very critical of halacha. If he would just do what he's supposed to be doing, if he'd be makabel what he's supposed to be doing, he'd have the utmost respect for halacha. He'd actually be learning more halacha that way. And he'd be learning it in a much healthier way. But because he's learning it with a hatred, he starts to become scornful of the halacha. He's mevazeh the halacha. Elam nation nafshem mevakeshach mitzoa acher lekviyusa b'torah, v'oz hayinishu neman b'ofan na'la lekdushas ha-torah. If he would do what he's supposed to do, he'd be true to Torah. But because he's forcing something else, he becomes a perverted individual, perverted within Torah. And if he becomes who he's supposed to be, he'll be able to be a tremendous asset to those who are have their kvias by halacha. He'd be able to teach them the sweetness of the agada, and everyone would be a better Jew that way. But because he thinks that something's wrong with him, that he doesn't like halacha, whom is Gabri negative on, he's constantly fighting who he is. Take off Kishnif Tachim Lefan of Eze Drachim Shalhefir. All of a sudden he has an opportunity to try something totally different. And he's failing in the area that he's working in, so what does he do? Whom is Parates Vanasa Sone Va'ar Letorah V'Lamun. It becomes a hater of Torah. He becomes someone who hates Torah. Because he's fighting to go down a path that's not his path. And slowly, Holik Midechi El Dechi. And he says, what emerges from this? Who's he talking about? Yashka. Somehow Yashka, Yeshu. Hamisnasim lahamin chazon, uvisamos eino shel olam. Right? This person becomes a dangerous person. Only because, why? What happened here? Because we didn't let them become who they're supposed to be. And therefore they convince themselves that Torah is not for them. They rebel against the Torah. It's a terrible tragedy. And sometimes a person could be so convinced that what he has is emes, and he wants to share with his friend. But he has to be so careful, even if you think you are emes la'amito, not to impose your way upon someone else. It's so dangerous. When we talk about emes, who do we think of? Think of the Kotzker, right? Think about the Kotzker. The Kotzker was the ish emes par excellence. The Kotzker, can you imagine trying to have a conversation with the Kotzker and trying to convince him of something? Or better, can you imagine trying not to be convinced of something that Kotzker was trying to convince you of? He was an ish emes through and through. And you look at the Kotzker, it's quoted in the Shemi Shmuel, in the Haggadah, on page 74 in the Haggadah, page 18 in our packet. The Kotzker once said about himself, you don't think I can make the whole world into Hasidim? You don't think I could do that? Why do you think? Look at Rav Soloveitchik's version of the story when the Kedushas Levi and the Baal HaTanya came to visit the Vilna Gaon. You know the Rav told it? You know what his misnamdic tradition of that story was? That the Gra ran away because he knew that if he would talk to the Baal HaTanya, the Baal HaTanya was so powerful in his being that he would have convinced the Gra of the Hasidim. And the Gra, for whatever reason, felt he didn't want to be convinced of it. And it was Lutoelis. We can look back now, but we can see it was Lutoelis, that it worked out that way. right? But the Gro is scared of the charisma of the Baal Tanya. He was scared to even come face to face with him, let alone to have a conversation with him. The Gro is someone who could hold his own. So the Kosker said, you don't think I can make the whole world Hasidim? You don't think I can make everyone in the world my chassid if I went around trying to impose my way upon them? I could. Kosker said he could, and he probably could. We can believe him that he says it. Take a look. It's a few lines down. I just want to read you. It's tied into the Agada. We'll skip the piece in the Agada for now. But just look where it says. Ulefize Yuvan. In the left-hand column. The line that begins, Mashanem. Masha Amar Zekeni Mikotsk. By the Shem Yishmuel was the grandson of the Kotsker. He said, my grandfather said, Shayabiyachotu Lassos Mikola Olam Chasidim Aval Ein Tzev Tov. I can make everyone a chassid. I'm big enough. I can give it to the whole world to be chassidim. That's not the tachas of a yid. Tachas of a yid is to be a shliach. A shliach miyuchad. Not to just become a little carbon copy of the kotzker. Right? To be who you're supposed to be. To be who you're supposed to be. And it could be a good thing. Chassidim are good and misnagdim are good. People learn halacha are good. People learn gemara are good. People learn gadata are good. They're all good. It's not a question of whether it's good or not. But if it's not for you, something which is good becomes destruction, becomes a perversion, becomes, I'll even go so far as to call it an abomination. I'm going to back myself up right now on page 19 and 20, as we come to the end of our shir. This word is not found in the Sichos Musar, but it comes from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and it's going to blow your mind. This, I've been living with this var a lot recently. What does it say in Parsha Kisei? You have to be true to yourself. A man has to be like a man, and a woman has to be like a woman. Lo yekli gever al isha, v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha, ki sovas Hashem lokecha kol oseim. A man who dresses in women's clothing, a woman who dresses in man's clothing, that's a toeva, it's an abomination. It's an abomination. Says the Targum Yonasan on page 20. What does that mean? What's it talking about? What's an example of a man's garment that can't be worn by a woman? Says Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Lo ye gulyan de tzitzis utfilin de hinon tikune gvar al ita. A woman should not wear man's clothing means a woman should not wear tzitzis or tefillin. A woman should not wear tzitzis or tefillin. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Think about this. Tefillin are the most gavaldic thing in the world. Tefillin's pe'er. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Baruch himself kiviyachol wears tefillin according to the Gemara. Tzitzis. Tzitzis is keneged kula. Tzitzis is gavaldic. It's an unbelievable mitzvah. It mamash connects you to all 613. Tefillin, you're wearing the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're attaching your heart, right, by tefillin shel yad. You're attaching your mind to Kutcha Brichu. And yet, if it's not for you, what's the lashon of the pasuk? A woman who wears a clothing, garments of a man, which we're defining as heilug mitzvah, tzitzis and tefillin. A woman who wears tzitzis and tefillin, it's a toeva. How could such a thing be? How could something which is so good, so spiritually powerful, how could it be a toeva? Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, because if it's not for you, it's an abomination. That means if you're forcing yourself to learn halacha when you should be learning a gadata, every word of halacha you learn is a toeva. I know that sounds like a very extreme thing to say, but there's a truth to that. It's a toeva. It destroys you. You get a yashka. You get someone who goes and takes the whole world astray because he didn't know how to channel his kochos and nefesh. Because he was fighting, he was being forced to be a certain way instead of learning how to use the potential that he had in a healthy way. That's an unbelievable idea. It's a toeva to do a mitzvah that's not your mitzvah. It's an abomination to live that way. A person can come to Olam Haba after an entire lifetime and sit down with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and have the following conversation. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to this person, he says, I want to review your life. I want to see what you did. And you come and you've got mounds of Torah and mitzvos on page 21. You sit down with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and yet what is the conversation? Siva Shalom and Parshas A quotes from the Torah's Avos, say for which he wrote, a collection of early Rebbes of Slonim and Kobrin and Lechovich. Sheyachol liyos sheyehudi yagia la'olam ha'elyon la'ach arichas yamim v'shanim va'asuk b'torah v'avoda v'yishalu oso ma'asiso pa'altabol ma'azeh. What did you do down there? You were very busy. Spent a lot of time doing Torah and mitzvot, but let's see. What do they look like? And then they say to him, b'lashon she'ela, ma'asiso pa'altabol ma'azeh. What were you doing in Olam Hazeh? You know how scary that is? You can get to Shemayim with satchels and bags of mitzvos only to find out that you failed. You completely failed. That was not what I asked of you. You're supposed to do something else. And you want it to be something that you're not. You are mekabel your shlichus. You didn't do it with a sense of pride and joy. You were supposed to be a melech. You were supposed to rule the world with that particular avoda. It was Eina Nili Mili. It was you or no one else, and you failed. It's a scary, scary thought. A person has to realize every person is a melech in one area. I want to end with two final things. Go back to page 16 for 1 minute. I'm sorry to jump around so much. The Rav Tzaddik asked a very simple question by Kabbalah Sator. Kabbalah Sator is the moment that a Jew gets his shlichus. We were all at Kabbalah Sator. That's when we got assigned. Okay, we were assigned at Kabbalah Sator that in the year Tavshin Ayin Dalit, each one of us would be working on, again, whatever it is we're working on right now, or we should be working on right now. But we got the assignment at Kabbalah Sator. And Hashem, to show us how much He believed in us and wanted us to be so strong in carrying out that mission, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everyone a crown. Two crowns, actually. A crown for Nas and a crown for Nishma. The Gemara on Shabbos, Peches. So if Tzaddik in Parsha Shkolim asks a very, very simple question. If everyone wears a crown, so then who's the king? The whole notion of a crown means that you're miyuchad, that you're set apart. That's what the crown is. The crown is the thing that sets the king apart. So says the Tzaddik, the Keser Mora Keser Malchus, the Kevet Shavimatan Torah Kishruk Sarim Lachol Echad Miyisrael Ami Molech Moshe. If I'm a king and you're a king, so who rules who? Who's the ruler? Who's the king? Says the Tzaddik. Every Jew is distinguished in one area. You are better than the Baal Shem Tov in certain areas of Avodas Hashem. And you think more deeply than the Ragacham. I know that sounds crazy. That's the Messias though. That there's an aspect of every aspect of Avoda that you are unique in. There's an aspect of Tefillah that's unique to you. There's an aspect of Torah that's unique to you. And Hashem is big enough to come up with enough different things for each of us to have a unique Shlichus. Kol echad b'Yisrael medugo b'davar echad al kol Yisrael uvidavar zehu b'chinas melech al kol Yisrael. You find the exact same idea. Rabbi Nachman is the same thing in Torah Lamed Aled, in Torah Nun Vav. Take a look at those Torahs in Likutei Moran if you want to see this idea through the eyes of Rabbi Nachman. The idea that you're a melech in a certain area, that you're the ruler of this area, and he says that's why in building Elokus on planet Earth, it has to be that the zivug that takes place in the building of the Mishkan, of the building of the Beis Hamikdash, it's dafkahu v'zesh zivug Hashem Yisbarach b'maisa Mishkan hagadol shebishvatim shu Yehuda sheyaseh menu Mashiach v'ayirud shebishvatim yishev edan v'fisha katan v'hagadol shavin lifnei hamakom. Unbelievable. You have to have someone from Yehuda, the loftiest of the shvatim, and someone from Shevet Dan working hand in hand to build a dira b'tachton. It has to be that way. Because every Jew has to understand, I'm a melech in my shlichas. It's me and it's no one else. To understand, I'm a yuchad, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We describe Hashem. The greatest description of Hashem we have is Echad. Hashem is absolute oneness. He's one with His knowledge. He's one with His Torah. Right? Completely one. Go to the final page. Kodesh Baruch Hu is absolutely one. And therefore, if we're trying to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, remember what Rav Shai Shechter told us the other week? Rav Shai pointed us to this Beis HaOtzer, if you remember, for those who were here that Sunday. In the Beis HaOtzer, Rav Yosef Engel redefined. Rav Shai was talking how the Rav, right, and others took issue with the song that we sing at the end of the Haggadah, Echad Miyodeya. Right? Echad Miyodeya. And how Echad doesn't mean necessarily one. That's not the best translation of Echad. You know what Echad means? You know what Hashem is? Echad means Miyuchad. And when Hashem sent us to planet Earth, like we saw so many sources today, the Avoda is to be Miyuchad. It's to be a star that looks like I'm part of a bigger picture. And you are. You are part of the bigger picture. You move out to yourself to the bigger picture. But to have a very clear sense of my shlichus in this world. Echad, says of Yosef Engel in the bottom left-hand corner, Matzinu tevas echad sheperusho miyuchad. I'll give you just one example, the Gemara in Megillah. Amarle Rebbe, im nemar keves lama nemar echad. If it says keves in the singular, so why does it have to say echad, keves echad? Amarle echad miyuchad shebeedro. Echad means you have to choose the finest of the flock for the carbon talmud. Echad means miyuchad. And therefore, if we need to walk, if we want halachta b'drachav, to walk in the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is miyuchad she'ein kamohu, we have to try to the best of our ability, in the smallest way possible, or the biggest way possible, I guess, which is going to be small in comparison to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to try to the best of our ability To walk in, to be miyuchad, to be a unique person on planet Earth. So Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength. Again, not to be looking at others, not to go meshuga from what everyone else has to say. To look mamish, mamish inside, to realize that Klal Yisrael compared to the stars. And it's like a star with the tremendous pride, does its mission. It's so proud to be a star. It's so proud. It's a chavivus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the stars. It's the same chavivus HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us when we're able to be miyuchad. And Mirza Hashem, if we do that, and even us lowly Jews, Nikos of the Mashiach, at the end of times, I will repartner with Yehuda. We'll repartner the lowest Jews and the highest Jews, hand in hand, to build the base of Mikdash. From Herabi Amen. Amen. Shkayach.